Hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts Shannon.
Hello.
James.
Hello.
And Brody.
Hey.
Brody, I'm sorry to have missed your return last week. How did Shannon go covering me as host?
Flawless. I think he's he was wow. I don't know.
Sorry,
what.
No, I just look in the corner of my eye to see Shannon spitting out ice cubes into his glass.
He wasn't prepared for my brand of positive reinforcement, but flawless display. I'd love to have him back anytime, whenever he's whenever you've got another game of basketball, I think he'd be with you. Yeah, of course.
I don't think we even won the game of basketball, I'm sorry to say. It was wasted effort. Did you enjoy the Mortal Kombat trailer too, Brody?
I did. I did very much. I think it looks very good. As soon as I saw the blood dagger part, I was like, this shit's legit.
I think that moment sold a lot of people. I saw a lot of people tweeting about that and talking about that.
Yeah, like I feel like for the first time after seeing a trailer, I feel like the movie's in really good hands. So, and it seems to have like a few good casting choices that I've managed to get behind. So, I'm in.
Yeah, fingers crossed we're in the golden era of movie and TV adaptations of video games. James, you're obviously got a bit of a reputation for being a big Mortal Kombat guy too. Did you enjoy the trailer?
I did, but I don't like Melina's teeth. I don't know what that's going to sound. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's going to be really strange. But, like, I'm very concerned about that. But, like, I think it does look really good. Like, the first two movies were, I think, M. And this is obviously, I think it's M, A, or R. And they're definitely going in the, like, violent fatality angle. I think they really nailed Kano. I don't know if they nailed Kano because we're Australian and we're meant to think that. But I think they really did a good job.
I'm excited. I kind of liked how they saved the kind of gore for the latter half of the trailer. You kind of like watched the first half unsure about like where it was going, and then just kind of hammered everything home towards the end.
They ripped Jax's arms off in the first 8 seconds, but yeah, all right.
Did they? Maybe I need to rewatch it. Shannon, we're all back on Facebook now as well, right?
We are. As of today, you can find all of our news again on Facebook. So, yeah, one week off. No real damage done, but good to be back.
There's no stopping us.
That's it. Baby.
Have you decided what content you're going to have subscriber only on Twitter?
Maybe the PS5 drops. Give us that sweet coin to get the latest. Nah, I don't know. It's an interesting concept. It'll be interesting to see how people use it. Like, will Twitter become OnlyFans? Will move to it? An OnlyFans model? Wait and see.
And James, I have to ask you some questions too. I'm curious about those video game books I saw you posting on Twitter. What are all those?
Boss fight books. So they're like, they get like somebody to write a book about a game and you read it. That's
compelling.
Like, I don't really know how else to describe it, but the Metal Gear one's written by Ashley Birch, which is really cool. And Mike Drucker, who's like a writer, kind of. Yeah, he is a writer.
Lucky.
Silent Hill 2-1, yeah. they're just like books about, like, you know, the games and how the games do design really well and how... They're just like, I don't know, I don't know how to
describe
them.
So they're kind of like big kind of deep dives into each
game?
Yeah,
like it's kind of like a deep dive into each game, but like I don't really know because I haven't read them yet. I just posted a photo to get the book cred with the peeps.
I read books.
Yeah, I
too. I'm a man of literature.
Yeah, I'm like reading The Odyssey at the moment, obviously. That's what they are. So, and when I know what they are, I'm sure I'll let you know because I'm sure everyone's dying to know too.
Well, I haven't read a book in a very long time, but I certainly play a bit of video games, as you know. And you'll be pleased to hear that I beat Resident Evil 7 and played the Maiden demo as well, James, in the week. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And having like watched Maiden and rewatched the Resident Evil 8 trailers a whole bunch as well, I am totally in now. I know you were playing the Ethan Moss Dying mode as well. Would you recommend that for me?
No.
Okay.
I do it. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those, it's like, it's, and it's really cheap to say, but it's like a Dark Souls mode. Like, you just have to keep replaying it, memorize every enemy and what you want to do and stuff, and you'll eventually get through it. And, you know, Ewan, you're playing in a group, so I'm sure you can turn to each other for hints and tips.
I'm curious as what people think about this. Apparently, nah, it's wrong. Inappropriate that I'm, like, playing it's with not friends inappropriate. At the same
it's
time.
It's just, like,
in the
bad
room.
Horror etiquette.
Like, bad horror etiquette. I need to be up at 3 in the morning by
myself. If it
was at
launch and, like, you're all hyped to do it, I think that would be one thing. But to wait, like, 3 years and then play it in a group is weird.
I had to grow up and mature a little bit as well, you know. And just quickly, too, James, how was Bravely Default 2? You also reviewed that.
Yeah, good. It's an RPG. It's got some stuff to do in it, and no, it's like a good old school style of Final Fantasy. Like, obviously, like I said in my review, Final Fantasy's kind of gone in off the deep end into like action territory now. But for people who really like the old style, like for the first 10 games almost, where it's like turn based battles and job systems and all that kind of stuff, I think you'll really, really like it. Really small scale game in terms of like story. No, but it's just you know, like Final Fantasy stories are like, you know, there's a meteor coming to destroy the planet. Like, it's this huge story that like four people will save the world, but this is more like there's an invading country coming to take our land, and it's like, you know, like the story isn't like this crazy far-reaching final boss battle with Destiny embodied kind of situation. It's just,
it's
like
not quite so grandiose,
yeah, like
as the
kill
Final
a warlord
story is after
or
that.
Maybe kill God, which is like kind of like not even that's like a subtle thing to do in a Final Fantasy game now, but it's good. I think if you like old Final Fantasy, you should definitely give it a shot. And it's definitely better than the second Bravely Default game, so if anyone didn't like the second one, still try this for sure.
Cool. Well, check out James's full review on the website if you want to do a deeper dive on that as well. But we've got plenty to talk about today, so we better crack on. And how about we start by talking about PlayStation State of Play, which happened this morning as of recording. Kind of unexpected, we heard about this late notice, but Shannon, what did you rate the State of Play overall?
I think Sony did a good job of, like, telling people what it was going to be with their 10 game deep dive based on games that were shown at the reveal in June. Like, it was a little bit nothing. Like, I thought starting with Ratchet was a weird choice, and giving it 3 minutes for a game that's already been announced for PS5 and we've obviously it's out, like, that was weird. So it was a little bit weird, but obviously ending with Final Fantasy and getting new looks at Kena and Solar Ash and a few other games was good. But yeah, nothing. I can easily see why people are disappointed if you had hopes for the last few showcases, which weren't State of Plays, they were like PS5 reveal events. But yeah, I thought it was good in terms of just giving an update of what we can expect this year. I think like maybe Horizon or even Ratchet would have been like the one thing to maybe really complete it as a showing for this year. But yeah, I feel like we'll get dedicated looks at those sooner rather than later for sure, or for Ratchet at least.
Yeah, there's also
start
the
with Ratchet
questions.
Though. Did it
with Crash? Did I say Crash or Ratchet?
You said Ratchet.
You said, now yeah, you said like, Ratchet.
Sorry. I meant Crash.
Because yeah, Crash was a weird choice, but like the Nintendo Director kind of sets the scene for how things would go.
Yeah, I just don't get why you'd announce it in a blog post and then, like, obviously know when these showcases are coming. Like, why not just save it for the showcase? That's what I don't understand. Like, because that would have actually been an announcement then. Like, this was just nothing. Like, literally nothing.
Was the blog post from Activision or was that from PlayStation?
It was... I think it was PlayStation.
No. So, well, the Ratchet is PlayStation.
No, Crash. We're talking about Crash.
Now, wasn't Crash announced at the Nintendo Direct?
Yeah, maybe it was. You're right.
And then
it
trickled out later?
Platforms. Yeah. I just wondered if it was maybe not meant to have kind of come out earlier than it did. But,
No, I'm just disappointed.
Anyhow, talking of the Nintendo Direct then, James, which obviously you guys kind of talked all about last week, how do you think this kind of stacks up against that? Is it kind of the same sort of feeling?
I don't think we should compare. Like, I don't think that's productive. But, like, I feel like No. Actually, now that I'm saying it out loud.
I'm just like, the way that they handle these announcements is kind of in a similar sort of fashion.
Yeah, I know. But like, I think this one was also a little bit both the last Nintendo Direct and this was very low key. Like, lots of footage of stuff that we already know about, like Knockout City. Like, I don't really know if that had to be shown again. Like, I know that maybe PlayStation hasn't had the chance to show it.
Yeah.
But it really isn't anything new. Like, the studio didn't really show off, put their best foot forward with that game in terms of, it is just shit we've seen before, just better graphics now. I don't know. It was just fine. It was like a solid 5 out of 10 for me.
Brody, of the announcements, what stood out to you?
Of the things they showed, I think I'm probably most keen on something like Kena. I was a bit disappointed, as I sort of have said already, that it's not coming out till August. I really thought it was going to be like a first half of the year sort of game, considering I think it was launch window. But launch window apparently includes the whole following year. So
it's always the way.
Yeah. That looked good. And obviously, while I've got my very moderate concerns about Deathloop not being my bag, I'm still kind of keen on that. I don't know. Not a whole heap. But at the same time, I wasn't expecting much. Like, everyone was, like, obviously wanting Horizon, and everyone was wanting maybe, like, Last of Us Factions news and stuff like that, or, something slightly megaton. But I don't know. I sort of managed to temper my expectations enough, I suppose, that... the little looks we got at things like were good enough for me. Like, Kena looks good. Returnal's piqued my interest to a degree. So,
yeah, I think the more I see about Returnal, the more interested I get in it, I think.
Yeah.
The arrival at that house that's kind of very RE7-esque.
Yeah.
And even like, after really reading, piqued my interest.
After reading Shannon's interview that he did with the guy whose name escapes me, Shannon.
Greg Luden, I think it was, who is an Aussie who made Stone and also worked on Control.
Control, yeah. Like, it's definitely got me a slightly more interested in it, especially from the narrative perspective, like, because I like weird shit like that. So, it looks cool.
And in mentioning the Last of Us Factions as well, when they're sort of, like, said at the end, we've got one more thing, and it's about, like, an upgrade to a big 2020 game, I thought for sure that was going to be Factions.
Ewan was already tearing up.
I was getting out my guitar, ready to strum along.
What about when they were like, well, now here's one for people who are fans of scary games?
Yeah.
James, your heart would have skipped a beat
as well.
And I was like, it's Five Nights at Freddy's.
Fuck them.
That's an ultimate betrayal.
Look, all in all, I don't think there was anything here that really set anyone's world on fire, which maybe is a similar sort of sentiment that kind of came out of the Direct last week as well. But I will admit that I'm super, super excited for this Final Fantasy VII expansion. I imagine you'd be the same, James. This looks pretty exciting, right? Maybe more so excited for someone that's very new to Final Fantasy VII. I realize it's twisting a lot of what people have known about VII in the past, right?
Yeah, it's hard to explain, but obviously, without ruining stuff, especially for people who haven't played the decades-old game like Ewan, but, like, you can... It's like the new content is, like, brand new, and it's with a character who you could potentially go through the whole game and not actually recruit. Yuffie isn't actually guaranteed to be in your party. Like, most people will, and I'm pretty sure most people would have back in the day, but they've obviously trying to make her more of a main, I'm assuming a mainstay in the cast. Really cool that I guess they're doing that. My first initial thought was like, did anybody really think Final Fantasy VII Remake needed more chapters? I think it's good in terms of bringing that game to PS5, because it wouldn't have made sense if part one stayed on PS4 and then the rest all came out on PS5, but I really hope it's not like a trend of kind of, because I feel like I don't know if this is wrong for me to say, but I feel like maybe 7 Remake didn't make as much money as they wanted it to, and I really hope that they don't kind of serve up this kind of piecemeal like story vignette DLC while they work on a proper part two. Like, I really hope they kind of like chill a bit. Final Fantasy 15 was like that as well. I don't know if you guys are up with the DLC for that, but I feel like there was 4, and then they were going to announce another 4, and then it just, like, bombed. It didn't bomb, but it didn't do as well as they wanted, so they cancelled it all. Yeah, so I'm excited for Ewan. I don't know if I'm excited myself. Yuffie's, like, my least favourite character as well, but, like, I think it's cool they're expanding the universe. I just hope it's more on the side of the good stuff that they expanded in 7 Remake and, like, the honeybee and stuff, not, like, the fucking ghost train Harry Potter side story shit. Like,
I'm just glad to kind of have new stuff to do in that world and kind of dive into it some more. But admittedly, now that you mention it, like, if that's kind of delaying part 2 so they can kind of drip feed us other bits and content, that wouldn't sit well with me. I'd rather, like, they just kind of concentrate on getting part 2 delivered.
It just reminds me of, like, you know how Marvel now kind of tries to tell stories about every single person in its universe? Like, here's a series about the people who made Captain America's sandwiches. Like, and, like, that's a 10-episode limited event. Like, I don't know if I need to see, like, Yuffie's story at this point, but... Yeah, it's just like, it's the same with any, like, prequel or remake. You just have to kind of balance it, you know?
Yeah. Well, before we get stuck into a bunch more PlayStation news as well, I just want to give a shout out to Sifu, I think it's pronounced, which I thought looked really, really cool. Did that do anything for you, Brody? The kind of brawler close quarters combat?
Yeah, I guess to a degree. Well, I'll give it a look. I'll give it a look. I don't know. It's probably, I wasn't a big fan of Absolver. So I'm less inclined to get excited about this. I want it Stray to be there. So the fact that I reckon Stray got pushed so Sifu could live upsets me. But anyway.
I think I saw a comment in the article that mirrored the same sentiment as well.
Mm.
Stray is still this year though, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. I just want to see more of it. Maybe, who knows?
Well, I think...
It's a strange world.
I just don't know. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, let's get stuck into some more PlayStation news because there's heaps to talk about there. We had a very active week. Shannon, a new PSVR headset's coming next year.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by this random blog post on a whatever morning it was this week. Yeah, just I wasn't expecting it. I don't even know if I was expecting for PlayStation to do another VR headset, but I definitely wasn't expecting it this soon in the PS5's life cycle. But I think they clearly just wanted to get an announcement out there for investors to drive their share price. But yeah, I'm excited. A little bit disappointed that it's not wireless, even though I don't think that was ever the expectation. Yeah. But yeah, honestly, coming from a Quest, like, I even struggle to just... It's such an effort even putting that on and getting in the zone to play VR games, let alone plugging in one cable, but it's definitely improvement from the horrible breakout box that the original one had.
But thank fuck the Move controllers are gone.
And that too, that's a big one.
Oh, like, that's the biggest thing.
I honestly forgot until I wrote that story that they were originally designed for the PS3, like so long before VR or the PS4. Like, they were so old and crappy, and honestly, it's impressive that they're able to do what they could.
I think when the PSVR, like, first dropped as well, like, they didn't have the kind of remade Move controllers.
Yeah,
like,
it was
just
the
relied on you having PS3 controllers or, like, being able to get your hands on them. I think it was, like, a few months later they actually kind of, like, repackaging them again, which is wild. I'm hoping this is what that, like, USB-C port on the front of the PS5 console is for, that it's all, like, just a single USB-C cable
that
runs
into it.
Yeah,
it'd have to be, I think. Yeah.
Which is a
nice solution.
Got the speed that it would need. Yeah. Mm. Brody, does this excite you as the recent purchaser of an Oculus? Are you kind of given up on PlayStation's VR and sticking with your PC life?
Yeah, for now. I mean, it's going to be all about what PSVR, I guess, offers in terms of software now. Like, if they've got the software that appeals to me, then sure. But, I mean, if it's just going to be the stuff that I could play on PC on my Oculus, also with one cable, like, you know, Half-Life Alyx and stuff like that, and Boneworks and all that sort of good stuff, I probably won't be compelled to get PSVR 2, but knowing that they'll have games like, you know, Blood and Truth and even, like, another Astro's Bot Rescue or whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's potential to make some cool stuff, especially if they're going to use concepts from, like, the DualSense controller. Like, it could be very responsive and very immersive, so I'm kind of excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Whilst I'm on the topic of you as well and your PC gaming, are you excited at the prospect of more PlayStation games coming to PC? Days Gone was obviously announced in the week to be coming or headed to PC, but the more were going to be on the way too.
I'm personally not excited for my own benefit. I won't replay any of these games on PC. But I'm glad for people to be able to get to play them on PC. Like, if you don't have PlayStation, you're not in that ecosystem to be able to play a game like Days Gone and like Horizon, obviously, which came out, and whatever they want to bring out in future. I think it's only good for gamers, and I like it just because I want to see the melt. Like, I want to see like the fanboy melt when Last of Us comes out on PC, because it'll happen, and there'll be people who think they've been betrayed by Sony, and I'm just here for that. So yeah, I think there's a lot of upswing to it.
Yeah, Bloodborne's the one that I'm kind of hopeful for everyone else's sake, because I know that people have been hankering that for years.
Would it be 60 frames, though? Would it be 60 frames?
I just think, like, that's got to happen at this point with the amount of people that have been desperate for that game and haven't kind of jumped over to PlayStation. Or for, like, if you were going to jump over to PlayStation and play it, you would have done it already. Yeah, I think that's kind of overdue at this point. Shan, another one for you. We talked about games coming out this year and what might perhaps shift out. We're kind of getting a bit of a clearer picture of what's happening now, and GT 7 has been delayed into next year. Does this come as a shock to you?
Yes and no. I think, like, a little bit, because they've been developing this for... God, I don't even know how long. There wasn't, like, a mainline GT game on PS4, so I'm going to say they've been developing this for, what, like, at least 4 or 5 years, but probably even longer. So yes, in that sense, but Polyphony, like, obviously are notorious for taking forever for these games, so no in that respect. But yeah, it's getting to the point now where this has been delayed. God of War was 2021, and I just never believed that, and I believe it even less now, and Horizon's definitely in doubt. So it's getting to the point now where it's like, what is PlayStation going to have for holiday in 2021? So it does surprise me a little bit. I just hope it doesn't go down this rabbit hole where it keeps getting delayed, because that's going to be really frustrating.
Yeah. But doesn't every Gran Turismo game end up like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
I feel like they always get delayed. I feel like the PSP one always got delayed. And, like, I think that's just... Well, yeah.
I know. But they didn't announce this one early, like, and they'd been working on it for ages. So I had hope that...
But when you say they've been working on it for ages, like, they still made GT Sport. Like, I know it wasn't called GT Sport.
I know, but
like,
even that was...
team, right?
Yeah, when was that? That was 2017. So that's 4 years. Like, that's enough. Like, I don't want to speak about game development.
Enough.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's not as if it came out 2 years ago even. Like, it's 3 years ago. 4 years ago.
Mm.
I'd have thought they would want to put them out kind of sooner than that.
I mean, it's probably almost done. It'll probably be like early next year.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken as well, they cited kind of COVID issues as kind of being the reason for the delay, which I guess,
what a,
like,
cop out.
And I think we know that Japanese developers have struggled with COVID more just because they're not set up to work from home. It also, I feel like it's justified.
Yeah.
As long as it's like a 3 or 4 month delay, not 4 years, which
Shannon's just sitting here tapping his watch at these poor developers. They're just doing their best. They're doing their best, Shannon.
Refreshing his emails. there's a lot kind of happening in the moment here. I've had to crack open Reset Era because stuff's happening, like, very much on the fly. But there's kind of rumor mills abuzz at the moment with Horizon Forbidden West also being delayed, as you mentioned, Shannon. James, do you think, like, we still have a bunch of delays to kind of deal with this year?
I was going to say yes, because if one happens, I'm right. But nah, I don't know. I think God of War hasn't officially been delayed, has it?
We don't
even have a name for it. So, a name.
Yeah. But they said it was 2021. So, like, that's not happening. Like, that will be pushed back. I think Horizon will be this year. Like, I feel like that game has had a lot of years to cook.
was that 2017 that came out as well? I feel like that was
earlier than that, wasn't it?
Was it? Like 16, maybe?
No, it was 17.
Around that time.
It was early 2017, like March.
It was the same year as Breath of the Wild, wasn't it?
Was it the same year as GT Sport?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well,
wow. How quickly fingers crossed
we don't lose too much. But speaking of losing stuff, it sounds like, but again, this is something else that's kind of evolving on the fly, so bear with me, but it sounds like PlayStation Sony Japan is kind of closing down or being reorganized substantially. Is that right, Shan?
Yeah, so it sounds like they are being closed as a studio, but they're being sort of absorbed into Asobo, who made Astro, the launch Astro PS5 game.
We're Astro's really messing Playroom. Up
right.
Astro's Playroom. So, yeah, it's definitely sad because they had created, like, in my opinion, some of PlayStation's best and most unique games over the years, including, like, Ape Escape, Loco Roco, Gravity Rush, like a ton of games. And they'd also done localization for heaps of games as well. So it's sad, but I think that Team Asobo is good as well. So hopefully more comes out of that studio than just Astro, as good as it is. But yeah, it's obviously sad. Yeah.
It doesn't sound that way based on the statement that's been released. So Japan Studio will be re-centered to Team Asobi, it is, the creative team behind Astro's Playroom, allowing the team to focus on a single vision and build on the popularity of Astro's Playroom. So it sounds like they're kind of committing to Astro as a bit of a new kind of franchise, really doubling down to that IP. Rest in peace, Ape Escape.
Yeah, I wasn't going to mention it, but
the dogs are angry too.
They can port that out. They can like farm that out to like.
To be fair, that's probably a game that Asobi could actually do above any of the other franchises. But rip,
the dogs are fuming.
Fuming.
Brody, just quickly as well, because I think this is worth mentioning and people be interested in this. The PlayStation's expandable memory, we kind of have a bit more of an idea as to why that's taking a little longer now. It is rumored, or it's been reported, I should say, by Bloomberg, that this winter, sometime between June and August, there will be a firmware update to the PS5 that allows the PS5's fan to spin faster and cool the SSD and thus kind of give it support for that. Is it kind of frustrating to you that we're having to wait this long for the SSD to be compatible, and it might actually be a cooling issue after all?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, my PS5 is not full yet. I honestly haven't played it since I finished Spider-Man, so sorry to all the people who can't get PS5s out there. Mine's just sitting there doing nothing.
You've been busy on your Xbox.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, if it is an issue with, you know, the manufacturing of the console, then obviously that would be bound to frustrate some, but at least it sounds like there's a solution on the way. Like, it's not like it's never going to happen, so just keep clearing space. It'll happen eventually.
Yeah. Where does this sit with you, Shan?
I'm annoyed, but then I pretty much got rinsed in our group when I shared this in, because I feel like I'm obviously different, and you guys are probably different in the sense that we've got games on the fly always that we just want to download and don't quite get to, but just can't be bothered downloading. And it might just be because I'd lived without internet for 3 years that I like having games that I might play in the foreseeable future on my hard drive, and I haven't quite gotten used to being able to download a game in 30 minutes yet. So I think it's annoying, right? Like, June to August is a long time after launch, and we didn't really even know this wasn't coming at launch until the console came out. And again, you can't use external hard drives to even store games, so there is no way to store PS5 games apart from re-downloading. So I think it's annoying, but obviously you want to get it right. Like, you don't want SSDs overheating. Obviously, we've had PC issues, Ewan, so I wouldn't want that in my console experience. And I think PlayStation will have to be very careful with this.
I mean, like, an SSD overheating and cooking itself is like a waste of a few $100 potentially. Yeah, so,
I will say, like, the Xbox Series X expansion card was definitely the way to go. And I think I said that when I had both at launch, and I still believe that even more now.
Yeah, it just kind of seems that although they're hot in the right place with not kind of buying into something proprietary and just kind of allowing people to be a bit flexible with it might kind of backfire a little bit. But yeah, I'm interested if the cooling thing is like really like the problem, because I remember when we cracked open yours, it was kind of like in its own little kind of container. But I'm kind of looking at the image now and there is kind of a vent there, so maybe that helps. But hopefully...
I don't know if either of us are really qualified enough to make that call. But that would have to be the reason, because what other reason could there be? Like, there's drives on the market that should do the job. So it has to be something like that.
Yeah, yeah. There's enough clearance there for a heatsink to go on the top of it. So, anyhow, I digress. Hopefully they figure it out. James, Anthem. It's dead. It is officially dead. They have announced, BioWare have announced that it's kind of, they're ceasing all development on the kind of planned next big update to it. Does this come as much of a surprise to you?
No. Because I think we talked about it a while ago. They announced they were doing a new Mass Effect, they're doing a new Dragon Age, and we were kind of like, how can BioWare also be doing something else like Anthem? I feel like the damage is already done. You know, you can kind of relaunch as much as you want, but I feel like with a failure as catastrophic as Anthem was, I feel like the goodwill has been lost, which sucks because I actually feel like the game itself at its core is really good. But then I also feel like you can probably take all of those mechanics now and chuck them into Mass Effect and make it, and it would still work. Mm. And then it would be a new Mass Effect game and it would make more money, I would assume. Or Mass Effect multiplayer or something like that. So I feel like that work probably wouldn't be thrown away completely. But I definitely feel like there was no saving it, and I think they made the right decision. Not surprised at all.
I think that's my sort of gut feeling as well. Like, I just, as much as I wanted this game to kind of come back, because, and I think Shannon agrees with me too, that like the kind of core mechanics of the game were so strong, but it was just kind of let down by its design and its kind of storytelling or kind of lack thereof. It just kind of got in the way of itself, like, way too much. And I felt like it was salvageable, but as kind of their direction kind of turned elsewhere and the reputation of the game seemed to kind of get dragged through the mud even more, like, it just didn't look like there was going to be a way back, or the work to get there would have just been too much for them to be able to commit to. So I think they did have to kind of kill it. I think it kind of makes the most sense. But nonetheless, I'm kind of disappointed, Shan.
Yeah, well, I think given they announced that they were delving into it to sort of fix the issues, and like we've all said, like, the core mechanics were decent, like, it is sad given this is a game that was, and much like Avengers that we spoke about last week or the week before, like, they're games that are supposed to live on for years, and clearly that hasn't happened for Anthem. I don't know if it'll happen for Avengers, but did any content release post-launch at all, or was it just what came
at launch? They have done updates.
But there wasn't, like, major expansions or anything.
No, content. Like, they did updates to rejig the, like, progression and equipment, so, I think. That was, like, meant to be the first step.
So that's sad. Everyone, like, that is sad. Yeah. Like, imagine building up your character, which you did, Ewan. Like, and then never just having a need to use it again. Like, it is crappy, but I think they're better just to push it aside at this point and focus on, like, Dragon Age and Mass Effect, which are clearly going to do better in the long run.
I think it just EA went through, though. Like, the other thing that's probably not being reported as much is Motive's first original game, like, not Star Wars, was also cancelled pretty quietly this week, too, and it was called Gaia or something. So I feel like EA probably just did a whole complete reshuffle of and decided, you know, all of these projects just aren't going to be worth it for us, which is a shame and kind of what people, like, you know, say that EA does, which I think is disappointing that they're kind of, like, playing into that stereotype a little bit. But I feel like they'd also be kind of stupid not to put all of their effort into Mass Effect and Dragon Age, which I think are their two biggest brands now.
Yeah, I wonder how the teams kind of felt on it as well. Like, if the people were, like, still working on Anthem, if they did want to kind of turn it around, if their heart was still in it, or if they were kind of looking at people going off elsewhere and doing Dragon Age and Mass Effect and kind of envied that a little bit as well. So I'm sure there's kind of, disappointment across the board on it, but it does seem like a sensible decision in the grand scheme of things. It gets you wondering, like, what sort of hit they must have taken, because this was obviously, like, a multi kind of million-dollar budgeted game that failed to kind of meet expectations. I feel like Avengers, you mentioned that, Shannon, in a very similar sort of boat. Yeah, I mean, Brody, like, do you think that's kind of a bit dangerous? These big multi-million-dollar projects kind of falling short.
It's always a risk when you put $200 million into something and need it to, you know, make that money back by selling, you know, 5 to 10 million copies or something like that. Obviously, it's going to be a risk, but I don't want people to stop taking those risks though, because like,
yeah,
you know, you're going to get gems here and there, but I don't know. I think it's just it's the nature of the business.
I think with EA, like, they can, no, it's not the ideal situation, but they can recoup a lot of that with Ultimate Team.
Yeah.
That's
like very low cost.
They're like a Microsoft in the sense that they can eat a lot of cost for, you know, failures and things like that. But it is sad for the dev teams.
There was also, I think, I don't know if you saw earlier, James, but apparently they're moving Dragon away. They're removing multiplayer from Dragon Age completely now as well. Like, they're clearly just focusing on single player as a studio, which I think is a good move.
Good.
As well. Yeah. That they would have learned from this.
Because I forgot Inquisition had multiplayer. Like, I don't know. I actually completely forgot. I don't think I played it once. I would be surprised if anyone did. But they should definitely, like, consider Mass Effect multiplayer, because that was good.
No, I don't think they'll be doing that.
No, Mass Effect 3 multiplayer was so good.
It'll just be Anthem shoehorned in to make use of those mechanics.
It, and it says could it's well the Anthem be. Title screen.
Alrighty, there's so much more I could ask you guys about, because I realize as well we've not like delved into the kind of Destiny expanded IP as well, which I'd be keen
I'm happy
to quiz Brody on.
We can do that in the after
we'll
show.
We'll do that, we're going to need a post show, aren't we? We better touch on this Pokemon Direct, though, that is, to in full disclosure, kind of a few hours away from us still. We're recording ahead of it. But thanks to some leaks from a source with a proven track record, we've kind of got a good idea of what's going to be announced. Shannon, it sounds by the like of things that Diamond and Pearl remakes are real, and that there's going to be a new open world Pokemon game coming next year set in a feudal Sinnoh. How, as a kind of a on the fence Pokemon fan, how does this take your fancy?
I feel like if it's in terms of the two things that they could have announced to like drum up hype levels, like these are probably the two things. Like, people have been wanting Diamond and Pearl remakes forever, and I feel like James has mentioned, and I feel like a lot of other people have, that it doesn't look like it's following in the Let's Go footsteps, so that'll be really good to a lot of people. And then I feel like, open world Pokemon is the other thing that people have wanted for years and years now. So in terms of hype, like, I feel like Pokemon doesn't take much for people to get hyped about, but I feel like people waking up to this, if it's true, and who knows what else there'd be, you'd think there'd be like a cool console or something as well. But I feel like, Pokemon Snap on the horizon as well. It's going to be a good 18 months for Pokemon fans.
As someone who is, I jumped off Pokemon after, Silver and Gold and stuff.
Mate, we all did.
When they say they're doing a new open world Pokemon game, like, what does that mean? Aren't they all fucking open world?
Like, I think like Breath of the Wild, like, you can just go anywhere from the start. It's not going from gym to gym to gym, like, in a very linear fashion. But Sword and Shield had a bit of that, didn't they?
Yeah, they laid that foundation with, like, the wild area in Sword and Shield. Like, you would go into this area, everybody can connect there, and you can see all your other players walking around and stuff, Pokemon walking around. It's just a fun time.
Oh, Pokemon Crossing.
An open world Pokemon game, like, I don't really... Yeah, I understand what Brody's saying. Like, I don't really get how that would work. Like, yes, Breath of the Wild... But with Pokemon, but like also, I don't know, it has to be a pretty big world to like house those 600, 700 Pokemon. But I guess they've kind of, when you think about it, they've been working up to this for really long. Like, they've had to really spend a lot of games building all those Pokemon for HD and all that kind of shit as well. And now they've got all the assets ready. They can kind of put their time in to make a really cool new game.
Yeah.
If it is an open world Pokemon game, I think they definitely need to change it up. Like, I know Sword and Shield was meant to be different. So was Sun and Moon, but they just aren't at the end of the day. Like, they are really just the same game.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited at the prospect of it being changed up, but it's also happened 3 times before, and I'm kind of a little bit skeptical. But to me, Game Freak not doing the remakes of Diamond and Pearl, if that is true, is an indication to me they're really dedicated to doing something different.
Yeah.
Because I feel like before they would really kind of stretch themselves across these yearly projects, and it was obviously there was no time to kind of reinvent the wheel, but now they might be able to. So,
yeah, I really hope that's the case because, yeah, I'm total same, James. They kind of always tease that this is going to be kind of a groundbreaking new Pokemon game in some sort of way, and it kind of just never does anything all that different. The sort of beats, the gameplay beats are all the same, and it's just not a kind of game that speaks to me, despite me kind of, whilst not being a diehard fan, kind of liking Pokemon as a property. Like, I think there's so much room to do kind of cool stuff with it still. Hopefully this game is kind of, yeah, kind of a step out of the comfort zone a little bit and bring something new to the table. But yeah, by the time you're listening to this, we'll probably have a clearer picture of what that might be. Doesn't sound like this game release until... Or it'll be nothing, and all it'll of this be is just unnecessary.
It'll be Let's Go Diamond Pearl. And sorry.
Yeah.
And a new shirt for the 25th anniversary that you can pre-order.
Alrighty, I think it's time for What the Wiki, the Press Start podcast game show, where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. The first to guess two games correctly wins the round and takes home the points. And last week, that was indeed Brody on his return, just cleaning up by the sounds of things.
Just destructive. It was a destructive performance.
It was over in the blink of an eye. So yeah, Brody, you are taking over the hosting chair here on out.
All right. There'll be no bonus points for the theme being guessed, but I'm curious to see if you guys get where I'm going with it. So confirmed that there's a theme. Sorry, James. I ruined the mystique. I'm sorry. All right. First game. Though making a weak sales debut along their other 2008 games, the game eventually sold 1 million copies worldwide. Critics praised its atmosphere, gameplay, and sound design. It won and was nominated for multiple industry awards and has been ranked by journalists as one of the greatest video games ever made. It spawned two direct sequels.
Shannon. The game... Or...
Shannon.
Fuck off.
Dead Space. It's...
Dead Space is correct.
Oh, well done.
What? Wow. That was a...
Eventually selling a million. I feel like it was a bigger hit than that.
I'm just going by what the Wikipedia says, James. No need to get salty about it.
I'm not getting salty.
It is what it is, all right? Let's just move on.
Not always accurate, Wikipedia.
Let's not get... Yeah, that's right. It's data entry by casual grubs like us. All right.
Yeah, okay, move on.
Game number two. The game was announced at the 2011 E3 Expo, with a debut trailer and demo being shown. It was also stated during E3 2011 that the game is a standalone title, separate from the main series. A new gameplay trailer was unveiled in 2012, which led to the game being nominated for the Critics Game Awards. The Game Critics Awards, Best of E3 2012, under the category Best Motion Simulation Game. The game is an action role-playing video game that has players use Kinect to manipulate magic in order to defeat enemies. By using their hands to perform certain gestures, players can cast a variety of spells, ranging from electric bolts to magic shards. As enemies are defeated, experience is collected with...
James. Is it Fable the Journey?
It's Fable the Journey.
Damn it!
Absolutely.
Fable Legends, but it's not that.
Yeah, I was doing the same game.
All right.
Did that release? It didn't release.
It did.
Fable the Journey did. Fable Legends didn't.
Yeah, accurate. All right. Game 3. The game was unveiled at X06 Xbox Show in 2006. The developer designed the game specifically for the Xbox 360 controller in an attempt to circumvent issues present in previous console RTS games. The studio was closed by Microsoft before the game's release, but soon after, Robot Entertainment was founded by many of the studio's former employees. This new company continued support for the game with updates and DLC. The game is set 21 years before the events of the first game in the series.
James. Is it Halo Wars?
It is Halo Wars.
Wow, is it? That James early, I never would have picked that.
Neither, I just thought...
I thought that I too, and I was like, nah.
Ensemble closed.
And yeah, with that,
that
James.
Surprised me, the studio was shuttered. I didn't know that. There you go.
James, well done, taking James. Taking the winner's seat once again. Now, can anyone guess the theme?
Games that I... Oh, no. That's not,
studios
that's not
right. That have closed.
That is it. In honor of Sony Japan. May you rest.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
Bless.
So James and Shannon now equal in the lead on 3 points each. A spicy start to the season. I love it. And with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's...
I can feel it.
He's heating up.
Let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. You can join the conversation with hashtag PressStartCast. We've been joined today by Shannon.
Thank you. You can follow me at shancake_. And yeah, go read that Returnal interview on the website.
More interviews on the way too, right? Wink, wink, yeah. Nudge, nudge. Yeah. Also been joined today by James.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at James, @JAMZ. Yep.
And we've also been joined today by Brody.
Thanks. You can follow me at Brody_DG.
And I've been your host, Ewan Roxburgh. You can follow me on Twitter at Ewan_Roxburgh, where I've been posting a bunch of screenshots from Valheim, which I kind of like hoped to talk about at some point, but I don't think any of you guys have played it, have you?
No intention to ever play it.
Valheim's awesome. If you're into your survival games like that, highly recommend. But until next time, happy gaming.
Bye. Bye. Bye.